Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Sensitive Souls podcast. I'm your host, Jess Palmer. My pronouns are she and they, and I reside in the cozy corner of Northern Massachusetts with my partner, Pat, and our two kitties, Stormy and Binks. And I'm coming back with another episode. I know, shocker. But no, truly, I received so much love and support on last week's episode that I just kind of wanted to keep the ball rolling, you know, keep it simple, keep it easy, and just continue to speak from my heart. I think sometimes I want to outline things, and then I kind of come into this space and I just want to channel. I just want to speak what's on my heart. So if at any point my ADHD brain loses track of a thought or if things start to not really make so much sense, I do apologize. But today I am just kind of being present. It's my partner's last day of chemotherapy, which is just amazing. It's been a wild 9 weeks, to say the least. And yeah, I feel like I'm just sitting in a lot of gratitude lately. I don't know if it's like the new year, new me energy type of vibe, but I've just been feeling really grateful. Also really reflective. And right now I have some incense burning. It's called the Bear Spirit. It's a sandalwood incense. And I don't know, sandalwood is such a scent for me that is so grounding and clarifying all at the same time. And to just watch the smoke rise and create shapes and faces sometimes, I don't know, it's just a magic and beauty all on its own. So there I go with my ADHD already. But anywho, I'm present. I'm being present. I'm finding a lot of gratitude in this new year. But also, the end of 2021 was a fucking shit show. And I know that many of you listening can relate. Like, I don't know, the last couple months of last year were just really, really intense, really huge portals of transformation and growth and self-realization and awareness and all of that. And it really made me see where in my life I was holding myself back, where in my life I was giving myself away to people who didn't deserve my love and time and energy, and feeling triggered in old wounds, you know, feeling triggered in my self-worth, right? Because I was realizing that there were relationships in my life that were not giving me the same reciprocity. And it made me question, you know, what's wrong with me? Why do I always seem to give and never receive that in return? And, you know, I think I had to go through that to understand and return to what I always preach to others is that you need to put yourself first. You need to see yourself for the loving being that you are as you would anyone else, right? Like if you were to look at a friend or a family member who was constantly pouring into other people, you'd be like, yo, like, relax, take care of yourself, like, put yourself first. And I think I lost sight of that, especially with everything going on with my partner and them getting sick and me going through my assessment. Even though there were things that were happening kind of all around me that I could have paid more attention to myself, I was instead getting more heavily involved in other people's problems. And I think that can be a testament to codependency, right? I think if anyone is listening to this who has struggled with codependency, then you would know that being a codependent person, it's like instead of focusing on your own shit, you're so consumed with other people's shit that you start to take it personally when people aren't taking your advice and they're not doing the things that you are telling them to do when they come and confide in you. And then your own health goes on the back burner because, again, you're so consumed with trying to help other people that almost it becomes toxic. It becomes, you know, self-harm in a way because you're neglecting yourself. You're neglecting your needs. And you're starting to place these expectations on other people to do all this inner work, to focus on themselves, and to do better when you're not even doing that for yourself. So that was kind of something I've been unpacking. Like, okay, obviously, I'm caring too much about what the fuck is going on with other people. And of course, it's a good thing, right? To care and to be of service, but it can be a fine line, especially when in the past, if you're someone like me who's placed their value on the love and acceptance of others, then that's going to be a huge detriment. And so, unfortunately, by the end of last year, a very prominent relationship in my life, it was almost like as if these rose-tinted glasses came off. It's like for months, I'd kind of seen this relationship going towards this point. And I was fighting it. I was making excuses. I was, you know, giving chances that weren't really deserved. And continuing to be shown that this person could not follow through with their actions when they would have words to claim that they would grow and be better. And maybe they would for a little bit of time. But when it came to really being there and really showing that growth and effort, they couldn't. And in past relationships, I've given so many chances. Like, please tell me if this resonates with you. Like, have you ever been in a relationship that was toxic and, you know, you would go to break up with that person and they'd be like, oh, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do this, this, and this. And maybe they're good for like a couple days, a couple weeks, a couple months. And then they go right back to their behaviors that are toxic and unproductive. And then you reach that point of frustration again, not having your needs met, and you communicate that only to be met with more excuses and lack of action. And so if you're someone like me, like I've learned from that relationship that I don't want to continue to just go off of someone's word. Like if you want to do the hard things, if you want to change, you got to do it. You know, you can't just say, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be more available and more attentive and I'm going to be more emotionally available. And then they don't. Like, that just goes to show that they don't even believe in themselves enough, let alone believe in themselves enough to show up for you. Like, if they can't show up for themselves, how are they supposed to show up for you? You know, and I think, too, it was just like I was so sick and tired of the excuses and the me, me, me. And it's like, dude, enough's enough. You know, enough's enough. You know, no more giving people chances that they don't deserve. No more putting your self-care on the line for the love and acceptance and care for others. Like, nah, like that shit ends today. And so kind of sharing that and rambling on about it, it's brought me to this point of reflecting on doing the hard things, right? Because I know that change is fucking hard. It's hard to commit to new routines. It's hard to commit to new mindset behaviors and affirmations and other things that are going to help you along your journey, right? Like, it is hard. Because, like, for me right now, I'm really focusing on physically moving my body. So I have like a very achievable goal of doing 15 minutes a day, which I know to some people may not seem like a lot, but for someone like me who's been sedentary for a long time, even that, like just showing up for myself each day for a little bit of time to manage my mental health, to help my physical health, to move my body. And it's been great. Like I feel great. I feel clear. My back, where I have chronic pain a lot of the time, is a lot better. But I don't always want to do it. I almost never want to do it. Like I wake up and I'm like, yo, like I would much rather just sleep in my motherfucking bed all day than get up and fucking work out. Like that's the least of the things I want to do. But what I do and what helps me is, okay, I want to be an active person. What would an active person do? An active person would get up and exercise. If that doesn't work, I think of the benefit. Okay, I'm going to feel more energized. My mental health's going to be better. My physical health's going to be better. I'm going to sleep better. I'm going to feel more motivated to want to do other things, right? And that helps a lot. Like when I think about the benefit, I think of how I'm going to feel. That motivates me to take action. However, I'm a human being, okay? And I'm not always going to want to take that action. So there are going to be days where you choose to lay on the couch instead and play Animal Crossing, okay? And that's okay. But it's the consistent effort of wanting to show up, right? More oftentimes than not, doing it than not doing it, like that shows progress. But for me, and again, I don't know if this is me being a recovering codependent, but when I see people in their lives knowing that what they're doing is wrong for themselves, knowing that they're in a toxic cycle, knowing that they're not giving it their all, maybe in their relationships or their job or whatever, and like they know better, but they're choosing not to do better. And not just, oh, I'm tired, so I'm going to take a break today. Like, no, continuously doing the wrong things for themselves, I get really frustrated. I get really frustrated because I'm like, people in this society truly don't believe that they're capable of things. I don't know if it comes from like society's high expectations of perfectionism and success that maybe we always feel that nothing we do is ever good enough, so why try type of thing. But it really frustrates me. And maybe that could, you know, inside of me speak to some type of insecurity of my own that I have, which I do. You know, I was raised not so much with the structure of willpower and discipline. And, you know, my house was very fluid, my home life. So I wasn't taught really how to be a motivated person, which has led me to have some limiting beliefs around my own capability of seeing things through from A to Z. Also having ADHD, like a lot of people with that struggle with this self-worth issues when it comes to finishing and completing tasks or starting a project and seeing it all the way through. But right, in order to commit to something, in order to commit to change, in order to commit to a project, you do have to do the hard things. You do have to overcome the awareness of knowing what you're doing is holding yourself back, right? And taking that action to face those fears, face those insecurities, meet the emotions that are behind them that are holding you back. And then from there, create a plan that's attainable, achievable in a way that doesn't make you feel like a failure if you miss out on a day or if you make a mistake, because you will. You're a human being. You're going to mess up. You're not going to be perfect. But it's the awareness of the change you want to create, knowing the identity of who you are and who you want to be, right? How is creating this new habit going to change you? And thinking of the effects, like how much better is your life going to be if you do the hard thing? If you decide to pull up your big girl, boy, person pants and do what's hard, because that's the problem. People want to change, but they don't want to do the work. Because they know that, you know, when you first create a new habit or you start this new journey of something, right, you're kind of riding that high, like sick, this is new, I'm feeling good. But then you're going to plateau because as the habit becomes more established, that newness and excitement is going to kind of wear off. And then the mind is going to come in. The mind is going to want you to do what you used to do, not work out, not meditate, not go to therapy and face your feelings. Not be alone versus serial dating. You know what I'm saying? Like when we don't do the hard things and we stay complacent, that's going to do more harm than if we just move through it. Move through the discomfort. Move through the self-limitations. Move through this idea that you can't do it. And any emotional reactions you have with this, any resistance, allow it to wash over you like the waves of the ocean. But always return to your why. Why do you want to instill this habit in your life? Why do you want to create this change? And if that why is rooted in compassion and self-love and growth, then you can create a structure and a plan that's attainable for you. You know, like me with my exercise. I know if I set the goal of 5 days a week for an hour, I wouldn't do it. Maybe one day I could get to there. And I think slowly building upon habits is super powerful. But for now, for the last month and a half, I've done 3 days a week of activity for 20 minutes. And now I'm going to bump that up to 4 days and then bump it up to five, then bump it up to six, but still always giving myself a day off at least. You know, like sometimes, most of the time, lasting change will compound over time when you take it slowly, because it's the all or nothing. Boom, I'm going to go to the gym 6 days a week for 2 hours. Like that's not obtainable over the long period of time, you know? So it's like In order to do the hard things, you have to set yourself up for success. You have to create a plan that's really realistic and not something unobtainable. Because if you do set up something that's unobtainable or really just out of this world, right, and you quote unquote fail, those feelings of crappiness towards yourself are just going to be exasperated for sure, you know? So it's like, if you set a small achievable goal that's like on a smaller scale that you can build up over time, in doing this, you're going to build trust within yourself. So going back to the idea that like you're not capable, that's going to be out the window because you're like, oh, wow, I really have shown up for myself X amount of days this week. Wow, this goal really is kind of achievable because I've been doing it consistently. And so you start to really believe in yourself and trust in yourself. And, you know, I've been reading this book, Atomic Habits by James Clear. I think I mentioned it in the last episode, and it's been really eye-opening. And he talks about habit stacking. And so habit stacking is the idea of, you know, taking a habit you already have and adding on another habit to it. So you already have the momentum there. There's not going to be like, oh, I'd rather lay down than do this because you're already up and doing it. You have that momentum. So for example, if you want to meditate every day, when you go to make your cup of coffee or tea in the morning and you go to sit down, meditate for 1 minute. Meditate for a minute. You're already sitting there. You already have your coffee or tea. Why not take a minute to yourself to meditate? And then over time, you can increase that. Okay, I'm going to do 2 minutes of meditation. Or I'm going to do 3, 4, 5, 10. But by habit stacking, you're already creating the space for the habit to be formed. I personally like this a lot because I feel that sometimes my routines can be kind of all over the place, but what is consistent is my morning beverage. And so to add on a little bit of meditation, great, that gives me a little boost in my mental health. I get a little dopamine, right, because I completed a task. And so I just feel like if you want to do the hard things, make them as easy as possible for you. Don't make them too challenging because if they are, you're not going to want to do them. And knowing that that feeling that you get when you complete a task, that feeling when you show up for yourself, you cultivate so much more self-belief and trust and self-love when you devote yourself to your self-care and not putting the needs of others before your own. Doing the hard thing isn't just about building new habits. Sometimes it's saying goodbye to people who don't uphold your morals and values, who don't offer you reciprocity. Doing the hard thing can be leaving that job that's unfulfilling and not treating you the way that you deserve to be treated. Doing the hard thing can be going to the freaking grocery store because y'all know how stimulating that is. You know, like doing the hard thing is not just about habits, but I truly believe in order to become the people we want to be, and not to say that who we are right now is not good enough because we are. But of course, we want to grow and evolve. And for me, I want to be a more active person. So I ask myself, what would an active person do in this situation? What action would they take? Would they drink a soda or would they drink a water? But that doesn't mean if I decide to drink the soda that I'm not an active person. Like, you can still be a human, flexible being, right? But still also reinvent yourself in an image that's more in alignment with who you want to be, what values you have, what boundaries you want to set. So if you've been thinking about starting a new routine or having a conversation with a friend or a family member that you know will be hard, or you're thinking about taking a risk where there's a lot of uncertainty, know that doing the hard thing is going to be so rewarding. You're going to learn so much about yourself. You're going to really see what living in alignment feels like, because even though the last couple of months have been really hard and I've been forced to make really hard choices for myself, I feel really good. Like, I feel in alignment. It might have been a bumpy road to get to where I am right now, but I truly feel in flow right now. I truly feel that where I'm being guided, the actions I'm taking, the boundaries I'm setting are allowing me to call back my power and energy from all places, that I now have this newfound vitality and zest for life and my self-care especially. My self-care is everything. And I'm sad that I lost it for some time, but that's life because, again, we're human. But we can do hard things. We can set ourselves up for success. We can say no to people, places, and things that don't serve us. We can honor our human and divine spirit within. Okay? We can. We're worthy of it. And, you know, before I let you all go, I did want to let you know that on Sunday, January 16th at 1 p.m. EST, 10 a.m. PST, I am hosting a free, y'all, so you better come, workshop on feeding the two wolves. So this is an urban Cherokee legend discussing this idea that within us there is a dark and a light wolf. And I don't necessarily like that contrast, but for the sake of the story, it makes sense. So in this urban legend, they discuss this idea of these two wolves living within us. There's a darker wolf and the lighter wolf. And the two cannot exist without the other. The darker wolf being anger, jealousy, shame, resentment, frustration, self-sabotage, self-limitations, right? And then the lighter wolf is your joy, your gratitude, your self-love, your self-care and compassion, your hope for the world. And I think for a long time I lived in this place of duality that I felt like I had to be in my lighter wolf aspect all the time, that I had to be joyful and grateful, and that I couldn't feel these negative emotions. And if I did, I was failing at my personal journey. But last year, I took a workshop revolving around this legend, and it really impacted me. It really taught me the importance of honoring both our lighter and darker aspects, and that as a human, we are naturally going to feel both ends of this spectrum of emotions and expression. So in this workshop, we will read and reflect on the story. We will meditate to meet both of our wolves. And in that meditation, you will get personalized messages from each wolf to kind of give you more insight into who you are and how you can best hold space for these both aspects of yourself. And then afterwards, we're going to do some brainstorming, journaling, mind mapping to kind of come up with a plan on how you're going to honor these aspects of yourself. And then we'll end with some optional sacred sharing. So this is definitely going to be a lovely little space. I'm really excited to host my first virtual workshop, in a really long time, if ever. And then the first one of this year, no less. So if you're interested in registering for that free workshop, I will put the link in the show notes. If you follow me on Instagram at JessTheLastAvatar, it'll also be linked in my bio. I'll put my link tree too as well in my bio so you can go there if for some reason the other link doesn't work. And yeah, you'll register there. The Google Meet link is in like the little description, but I will send a calendar invite. And yeah, again, it's Sunday, January 16th, so this coming up Sunday from 1 p.m. to about maybe 2 or 3 p.m., depending how long the workshop takes. And then, yeah, I mean, that's it. It's at 1 p.m. EST, 10 a.m. PST, and I hope to see you there. And I'm sending you all my love and care, and I'm just so grateful to be in this space with you all again. And thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening, for supporting me, and just know that you're not alone and wherever you are in your walk of life, and I'm sending you all of the blessings in the world.